Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's the Melchester Odyssey, first one we're doing of 2021. We haven't recorded one of these for about 3 weeks, so we're not completely sure where we got up to. We think we're at the start of a new issue. At the top of this one, it's got some little bit of speech as a preview, Sam. And it says, "Well, Mr. Logan, is Kenny staying with Rovers or going home with you?" So the Kenny Logan thing is fucking still dragging on. Arthur Logan has been not acquitted, absolved. Is that the word of shooting Roy? Because he wasn't involved. Yeah. He'd been
probably no apologies Roy. From Roy for like putting him in the frame for all that time. Because if I'd been accused of attempted murder and my name had been dragged through the fucking press for weeks and weeks, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually the guy who I'd accused had come out of his coma and investigate the crime himself because he's had no faith in, he'd lost all faith in the police force. And then had said, good news, turn around to me and go, oh, good news, Sam, I'm letting you off. I have done some digging and good news, I've discovered that you weren't the person. I go, good fucking news. How about a fucking apology? Well, you're making it sound like I should be thanking you, right? You have, I will, my reputation will never recover from this. Right? Ever. I've been through a living hell. Yeah. I've had a breakdown in the last few months, right? Because of all of this. And it's all thanks to you. All I mean, I literally just turned up and had a few very mild crosswords with you about my son playing for your football team. And that was enough for you and the national media to suspect me of trying to shoot you in the fucking head.
Ultimately, like, I'm just trying to look out for my own interests. I've got an estate agency business, which I want to continue on, and I want my son to work there. Yeah. That's not a lot to ask. All of a sudden, I'm down here in England being accused of all kinds of abominable crimes.
Yeah. You wonder it's why we hate the English. You wonder why the English is regarded around the globe as a nation of Lampards. Which we are, by the way.
Of course we are.
I mean, look, if we're able to do, like, the top Lampard countries, there's only one fucking winner, and it's England.
Us.
It's just England.
Just
I can't think of another Lampard country.
No. No.
Possibly the Canadians, but well, don't know.
Not really. The Canadians just get on with it, don't they? Considering their neighbours are fucking mental, they just get on with it.
Yeah, I just think, keep their heads down.
I think a lot of fair play to them. You've got Scandinavians
the
who are quite cool, and then you've got the Latins, who are obviously a bit dis and dat, but that's not Lampard, is it? It's just
right, they're the opposite. The Latins, the Latin countries are fucking the opposite of Lampards. No, it's just us. Yeah. We're a nation of Lampards. I wouldn't be surprised if post-Brexit they actually put Frank Lampard's face on the Union Jack. No, on the Cross of St. George, sorry, right in the fucking
the
middle. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Logan, is Kenny staying with Rovers or going on with you? And then we've got that bit at the top which tells us what's going on, so we'll read that because I've got no fucking idea what we talked about in the last episode. After helping to trap the man who had tried to kill him, I need some glasses, Roy had persuaded one of the former suspects, Arthur Logan, to watch the final stages of a game in which Arthur's son, Kenny Logan, scored the goals which clinched Melchester Rovers' return to the First Division. Hurrah! Later, as father and son prepared for a final, and then in italics and inverted commas, showdown. Fucking hell.
This is like
the Lion King, isn't it?
When they put things in italics and all that stuff, it's like the person writing it thinks that they've just come across a really new, like, weird word that they're dropping in there to blow your mind with. So just to make sure that they're like, that it's, they're really landing how incredible their choice of word is, they've done it in italics and in quote marks.
Yeah, sure, Dan. It might have been a new word back then. I don't know, 1982.
Doubt it.
Might have been.
It's a, no, because it's a, like, Wild West word, isn't it? They invented it in the Wild West. The fucking cowboys are always having showdowns all over the place, weren't they?
I'm just saying. I don't know. I can't turn back time. So we've got that TV interviewer who keeps popping up, who doesn't have a name. And he says,
Johnny,
he's
Johnny
there
the
with a photographer. Joey the cunt.
Yeah.
John Hi. Cunt.
Welcome to Melchester Tonight. I'm your host, Johnny the cunt.
And he says, Kenny, Roy has given his permission for me to interview you over television. Yes, television. I've set up... Amazing, eh? That's television for you, though, isn't it? People who work in television think being in television's brilliant because they're in television.
Yeah,
Fuck me.
Yeah.
It's just the television, you cunt.
They're so excited. I mean, I'm friends with people who work, who are TV professionals. I mean, we've both worked in TV, but we would not call ourselves television people.
Absolutely not.
Far from it. But there are
it's
some
television.
TV professionals,
it's the best
many
thing
of them are. And they discuss telly on Facebook, like, you know, so like several mates who, I like them, but they'll all start discussing things that are on TV, right? Mm. But not like the sort of stuff that we might discuss. Which is like, I don't know, weird stuff that was made years ago that we've somehow dug out.
Anything with a Glenia Larson production credit.
Yeah, exactly. They'll talk about, you know, like new shows that come out. I mean, we don't usually discuss them because, to be honest, and this is quite snobby of me, but I don't care. I think that just watching TV in this day and age when all of the entertainment ever made is available to you at all times, the idea that you say, "What I wonder what's on telly, and I'll just see what's being served up to me, and I will passively accept it." I think that that's, I just sort of think that's so stupid and moronic. I think that if you look at what's on terrestrial channels and just go, "Oh, the new show's starting on the BBC tonight," I just sort of think, but mate, you could watch any of the entire history of the movie industry, right? Every television show that's ever been made, anything you want in the world is at your fingertips, and you're just seeing, you thought, fuck it, I'll see what this new show, The Wheel, with Michael McIntyre is like.
Yeah.
And then but why? Well, it's on, isn't it? I mean, they've gone to the trouble, mate, I might as well see it. It's like, but why, mate? How could you possibly have time to watch something that they've just put on telly? I mean, my mate, he is a bit, he is by his own admission, a bit of a technophobe, a bit of a Luddite, right? And he goes to me on Christmas Eve, he went, "What's worth watching on what's worth watching at on Christmas this year?" I went, what?
As if you've scoured the Radio Times.
Yeah, that's what it was like. List. I went, "What do you mean?" And he went, what's worth watching? What are the things worth watching? She's thinking, oh, Sam might know. And I've gone, to be honest, mate, I said, you can watch the Likely Lads Christmas special on YouTube.
Yeah, and he's like, they didn't show this week.
He went, but what's on TV? And I went, well, you can, I said, if you actually, I'd seen someone say on Twitter, I said, if you go on BBC iPlayer, I said, they've actually done on the homepage just all of the Christmas specials of all of the classic comedies. Yeah. So it was everything, right?
What time's that on?
And he went, oh, the iPlayer. Yeah, I was hoping not to resort to that. I wanted to, like, stick traditional style to what was on the telly. And I was like, what the fuck are you on about, mate? It's not like 1983. Do you know what I mean? Watch what you want. It's not like that. What film are they showing this year? Oh, not Escape to Victory again. No, that's you can watch any film you want, mate. Oh, bloody hell, why are they showing that? Oh, well, I suppose I better watch it. You don't have to watch anything. And these people who work in TV, they talk about it as if it's all important. And, you know, ultimately, I kind of think TV, like, it's a bit like the 97% rule in humans. It's the same with TV. I mean, to be honest, 97% of everything served up on TV is fucking insultingly bad.
Dog shit. Right? Yeah.
But luckily, the 3% that is excellent still constitutes millions of programmes.
Well, I'll just give a quick recommendation at this point for this week's brand new 24 Hours in Police Custody. I don't know if you saw it last night.
Nice.
It's a two-parter. Second part's on, we're recording this on Tuesday, so the second part is on tonight. And it's this woman who's been accused of trying to get a hitman to kill her ex-husband.
Mm.
And the hitman that she got is this fella, I think she found on a dating website.
John Hitman.
He's called Earl Gurnon.
Oh.
And he's fucking great. He gets arrested. He turns up and they're searching him to see if he's got anything dangerous on him in the police custody suite. And they say, have you not got any keys for your residence? He says, no. He says, I live on a farm. It's in the middle of nowhere. I don't need keys. He goes, and my dad's there. He lives there as well. And he's got a Rottweiler and a Staffordshire Bull Terrier and a load of guns. So no one's going to risk going down there trying to get in. And then the policeman who's searching him, he says, your trousers smell of cannabis.
Yes, my cannabis trousers.
This is Earl Gurnon, and he only briefly featured in the first part. I'm hoping the second part tonight is going to be all about Earl Gurnon. But
your trousers
really
smell of cannabis.
Have a look at that.
My trousers smell of cannabis, do they? Well, is that against the law now, is it?
So then he took the trousers off. I don't know if he was asked to or not, but took them off. Yeah,
have them. You're that fucking excited. They're yours.
Go and have a suck on them if you need a hit. Go on.
Send them off to the fucking lab. Yes, good fucking waste of taxpayers' money. Send some bastard's fucking trousers to the laboratory to test them for cannabis.
So, that's good, telly. Where were we?
So, anyway, this TV crew.
Johnny the Cunt.
Yeah.
Hmm. He's going to interview Kenny Logan, and Logan says, you'll have to wait a minute. I'm having a wee chat with my dad first. And he is, and there he's over in the corner of the, it's got to be the players' lounge, hasn't it? Nice table there. Padded seating against the wall, ashtray, everything you could need. And Arthur says, television, eh? They're trying to turn you into a star already. And Kenny says, that's not the only reason I joined the Rovers, Dad. To become famous. This is a great club, and I'm proud to be wearing Melchester's colours.
I love the dad here as well. In this bar does look great, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah.
It looks really nice.
He's fucking kitted this out, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's fucking done to me on spec this place.
I want them padded seats right along the wall like a saloon. I want saloon doors. Can we get saloon doors put on?
And I want round Formica tables. I want a yellow plastic ashtray square on every one that says Pilsner on the side of it, right?
And I want the bar to be really polished that the barman can just slide a drink along it, like on the movies.
That's fucking great, that Humphrey Bogart cunt. but he sat there, the dad, and he just looks the business, actually. He's got his green suit on. He's got a fuck-off shirt with the collars outside of the lapels of his jacket.
Yeah.
Undone quite far, slightly Barry Gibb. Awesome sort of disco handlebar moustache, and he's clutching a small glass that looks like it's probably whiskey. And I don't know, there's something about him, I think, fucking hell, he's a formidable character.
He definitely is. Racy's up against it here.
Mm.
Racy's going to have to be fucking pulling. Racy's going to be out of his depth, basically, with this cunt.
Mm.
All of Racy's pretense is going to be shown for what it is.
Well, he's already swung for me once outside my rig. But luckily, he was fucking pissed, so he missed.
Gosh, wasn't he? He just drove off.
Plus, his wife was there, and she were giving him fucking earaches. So in the end, the cunt gave up and got back in his car. The way I see it is, as long as he stays nice and pissed up, which he looks like he probably will do, then I should be all right, because of my quicker reflexes, Blackie. Yeah, well, all right. Don't worry, just say the word, and I'll fucking deal with him. I'd watch it if I were you, Blackie. You know what these Scots are like? If he does need dealing with, I might have to get fucking Duncan Mackay to do it.
He knows how they operate.
He's inside their fucking minds. He's a tame Scotsman. I tamed him. You can domesticate him, see?
I tranquilised him, brought him down here in a net, tamed him.
Got him to play left back and take the pens.
Half an hour later, it says, as Roy himself was nearing the end of a television interview, and there's Johnny the Cunt saying, can you give us any idea as to what happened at the police station, Roy? He's called Brian. There we are. Sorry, Brian. So we're giving him Brian the Cunt.
He's not called Brian. That's just Roy's doing a power play.
Yeah.
Fucking TV cunt thinks he's Flash.
Whatever your fucking name is.
I'll show him. I call him Brian.
Brian Moore.
It undermines him.
Sorry, Brian, I'm leaving it to the police to issue a statement right now. I want to try and forget about the whole messy business.
The name's Tommy, actually. Tommy the Cunt. Yeah, whatever, Brian. Now, what do you want to ask me?
Ask me anything about the cop, apart from the cop stuff. I'm leaving it to the police to issue a statement. He's instructed them to do it. Yeah. He says, I want to try and forget about the whole messy business, apart from Arthur Logan, that is. And Logan's skulking across the other side of the pitch, staring at this media procession. Look at him. Whoa.
Not impressed.
And Roy says, so if you'll excuse me, Brian, I think he'd like a word. And there, the two of them are on the pitch having a heart-to-heart. Roy is dressed in some kind of fucking...
Sort of a suede
safari jacket, isn't it? Yeah.
With a yellow tie underneath and... bootcut blue jeans, Wranglers incredible. By the looks of them.
It's an incredible look. And he says, well, Mr. Logan, is Kenny staying with the Rovers or going home with you? Like I said, he's free to do as he likes. To be honest, pal, I've fucking had enough. Well, I can't be arsed.
I mean,
you know, I'll sign some other cunt. Scot, maybe a Welshman, don't know.
Any fucking player on this team is basically window dressing. It's 10 cunts plus Roy Race. That's how it works, yeah? And he was one of the lucky cunts who had been anointed. Don't ask me why. Maybe I pitied him, right? But the fucking headache you have been giving me from day fucking one, I'm half a mind to fuck the cunt off because I could get any dickhead to stand there. It don't matter. 10 fucking functioning humans with two legs will still win.
I'll fucking tell you why I signed him. I signed him because he was fucking cheap. The Scots are always cheap. He was playing for some fucking knob-end fucking part-time club. I gave them $2,000 for him. I'm paying him £20 a week. He's none the wiser. So, you know, economics, isn't it?
And if as they say him back, about the lineup, fucking have him.
To paraphrase Mark A. Smith, if it's Roy Race and your granny on bongos, it's Melchester. So, you know, doesn't matter who's playing.
I could get one of Blackie's fucking cousins down, right? In fucking 20 minutes, I could have them down here in my helicopter and they could turn out, right? And let me tell you, their fucking basket cases wouldn't make a blind bit of difference to me, though. Stick them in a Melchester, put them in a fucking red and yellow kit and stand them out there next to me and say, you just stand there and watch, you silly bastard. He's got about fucking 30 cousins up there in Liverpool. All of them out of work. They'd fucking walk over coals to get into this.
You reckon Vic Guthrie's mental, you should say these cunts. So he says, is he staying with the Rovers or going home with you? He's free to do as he likes. And Logan says, aye, I believe that now. And I must admit, I've never seen the lad approach anything with such pride and dedication. Close up there of Arthur's
demented face.
Demented, yeah. And it's obvious that you didn't entice him away from me. But that doesn't mean that I approve of what he's done.
my feelings about Melchester Rovers and football in general haven't changed. Powerful stuff.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So, look after him, Riz! He's handing him over.
It's like a weird breakup, isn't it? If you ever break his heart, I will personally kill you, Riz.
I will pull your own heart out with my bare hands. He says, so look after him, Riz. Here is his birth certificate and his national insurance number. I think you'll find it's all in order.
Here is a lock of his hair. I don't see why I'd be needing that. I mean, he's here. Treasure it. And here is a lock of my hair. So you never, ever forget who you are answerable to.
Here's a lock of my hair so that the bond can never be broken, truly. I want you to affix this hair onto Kenny's head, but do not tell him. I must remain a part of him forever.
Now, I am assuming that you put all of the lads down for an afternoon nap every day before their milk and biscuits. What the hell are you talking about? This isn't a fucking nursery school. You done it, put them down for a nap. No wonder Kenny's been looking so peculiar. He needs his afternoon nap, but he won't have it unless he's put down for it. You need to turn out the lights.
Oh, they're supposed to grow big and strong.
Make everything very quiet. Pull the blinds. Maybe sing them a wee lullaby. And then, if he cries, which he will, you have the guts to leave him to cry. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you ken what I mean here, Ace? Leave him to cry out on his own. In the end, he will exhaust himself. He will sleep for up to 45 minutes, and when he wakes up, he'll have his milk.
And you'll be there, and he knows you'll be there, and he'll learn.
Wrap him up very tightly in this blanket. I will give it to you now.
Swaddle him. Here are his swaddling clothes and his dummy and his favourite teddy bear.
Fucking hell. This is starting to get a bit fucking creepy.
Oh, just fucking take him, will you? I don't want to get into this. It's weird.
Blackie, get Duncan. Get Duncan over here. I need him to sort something.
I need him to translate something. So,
things are getting very fucking twisted very fucking quickly.
He says, so look after him, Reese. And if the lad ever wants to come back to Scotland and enter the family business, I'll welcome him with open arms.
Yeah, fucking, yeah.
Everyone's like, whatever, of course he will. Yeah, that's about to happen. Turn his back on this. Fucking hell. Fair enough, Mr. Logan, says Roy. Ta-da.
Mr. Logan walks off looking really sad and dejected across the pitch in his green suit.
As if he's never going to see his son again.
Yeah.
He can go down any time he wants.
He's dead to me now. Goes down to his wife. I think it's time we trade for another Ben.
But Arthur, I'm in my 50s now. I don't even know if it's possible for us to conceive at this age.
I need you to procreate one last time, woman.
But what about with Kenny?
Kenny is no more. Forget about him. Erase him from your mind.
Do not utter that word again in my presence. Now lie down. Assume the position. Procreation is about to commence. I'm putting it in now.
It is inserted. The vessel is in the dock.
The vessel of life has been inserted into the recipient, into the host.
As is my right, as a good Protestant man, who can choose when he can and cannot impregnate his woman.
There, I have finished.
The act is concluded. Go directly to hospital for the tests.
Put the kettle on the way. Require a cup of tea.
I am exhausted.
Arthur Logan walks off looking at the ground, forlorn, and Roy thinks to himself, you're entitled to your views. Footer isn't everybody's game.
I hate footer. The word footer.
What the hell?
I really hate that word.
I've not heard that word for decades.
No.
Footer.
In 50s Roy, which is, I'm reading at the moment, that's almost all they call it is footer. It's
all about the footer. Fucking hell.
So, I hate footy as well, but footer worse, really, isn't it? Even worse than footy.
Oh, yeah, much
it's
worse.
It's so condescending when people say to you, you must have had this. Condescending when people go, oh, are you watching the footy? Doesn't it annoy you, that?
Well, even worse when people who don't like football try and pretend to assume the vernacular.
But that,
you're watching the kickball, are you?
But only people who aren't into football will say, are you watching the footy?
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing a rugby fan will say to you or something like that.
Then they go deeper. Oh, did he kick one in the score bag?
Oh, all that shit as well. That's just,
cunt. But Roy's standing there pensively, having a good think. And he says, but it's Kenny Logan's life. He can only go forward now, with or without his father's approval.
Life is life. It's a journey, Kenny. Trust me.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a destination. Yeah? It's a journey. And every day, you can only go forward in any journey. you can go back. But you see what
I'm
saying.
Stand still. Very easy.
Yeah. But it's best to keep going.
Try and forget what you've done in the past. That's the main thing.
There's no point dwelling on past mistakes.
Never regret anything you've done. Just regret things you haven't done.
Yeah.
And then do them. And then regret them.
I tell you what wonders for me, right, was having that coma, right, because I had a lot of fucking demons starting to assemble in my knot because of some of the stuff. Let's just call it stuff that me and quite often Blackie had done over the years, just in order, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. There is an whole industry that surrounds me, right? There are a lot of people who are dependent on Roy Race, let's call it Roy Race PLC. Yeah.
Roy Race Inc.
Inc, yeah. And you'd be amazed, right? Ripples out throughout the whole of Melchester and beyond. So sometimes the public might not want to see it, but some things have to be done that are outside of, let's say, conventional rules, right, in order to maintain the health of Roy Race, Inc., yeah? And me and Blackie, the things we've done, we've mainly done for other people. They just wouldn't understand. But as a result, there was a cacophony of voices in my mind torturing me about the things we'd done and the things we had seen. And then when I got shot in the head, it was great because I was in that coma for a while. When I came back round again, I had everything in perspective. I
just fucking forgot about all of it because it's not worth it, is it?
Put it in the fucking past. Put it in the out tray. Right in me,
buried it right down in me psyche. Right out of the way. A few days later at Rovers' last match of the season at Rotherton, and there's Kenny Logan putting a goal in. Yes, 2-0. Young Logan was right on the spot for the rebound. The keeper's just tipped it into Logan's path and he's put it in, wearing the number 5 shirt. I'm not sure what position he's playing there. Because Ronnie Whalen used to wear the number 5, didn't he, for Liverpool? And he was a midfielder. Yeah. Number 5 would have been a centre-back, traditionally, I think.
Traditionally, in Italy, they used to give the 5 to midfielders quite a lot. A midfielder who sort of played in the sort of in the Pirlo role,
right,
the deep lying kind of passer,
right?
They give him a number 5.
Maybe that's
Il Direttore. Yeah.
Well, that's probably what happened to Liverpool. It came across from Italy with all of the designer gear of the early 80s. They brought the number 5 as well.
Yeah.
As well as fucking Tashini tracksuit.
Yeah.
So there we are. Logan's put it in the back of the net. Even though Rovers have won the second division championship by a street, they're not taking it easy on us. And then another one of them says, apart from Mervyn Wallace, they fielded their strongest possible squad. Who's this cunt picking out Mervyn Wallace?
Yeah, Mervyn Wallace is there going, oi, what's that supposed to mean, cunt?
Fucking cheeky bastard. I'm going to score you, cunt.
What's this? You're the weak link, Wallace.
Fuck off, Rotherton. Fucking arseholes. 14th again, was it, lads? Yeah. Fucking pathetic. And it says, Roy had dropped back to midfield in place of Mervyn to make way for Kenny Logan. Hang on. Mervyn Wallace wasn't playing. Or was he?
Okay.
Roy's playing in midfield.
They fielded their strongest possible squad apart from Mervyn Wallace, which means they played all of their first teamers apart from Mervyn Wallace. Mervyn Wallace has been rested. They have filled
Roy's,
his role.
Roy's in midfield.
Roy's
That's
in midfield.
Fucking generous,
and
isn't it?
Kenny Logan's gone up front.
Whoa, this is big. This is like when Wayne Rooney was rumoured to be going to become a midfielder at the end of his career.
He was a midfielder.
Yeah, Derby, wasn't it?
No, Derby. United, he played a few games in midfield as well, I think.
I think he did it at Everton as well, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Roy has let Kenny Logan play up top. And then someone in the crowd points out, doesn't make much difference. The King could play anywhere. He could play in goal if he wanted to. He's so fucking good.
And the defender who, let's be honest, we've talked before about the laziness of the illustrator when he just can't be asked drawing new characters. So he just reuses them. And this is Vic Guthrie. The defender for Rotherton, who race has just gone past and who's stumbling over going, ah! Because that's what you do when someone goes around you in a football game. He is identical to Vic Guthrie. Disgusting. Sloppy.
David Skew, obviously, who draws these, someone pointed out to us, I think over Christmas on Twitter, that David Skew does commissions. And that he'll do a picture of yourself standing next to Roy Race.
I tell you what I'd really like is for him to do a picture of me and you, but in Roy the Rover's kits, in action.
Well, he would. He'd do it. He'd do it.
Well, I'm going to get in touch with him then.
His website is there. I'm trying to find. It says you can get in touch with him. Whoa. It says, on his website, it says comic strips. Well, I suppose that I'm best known for my comic illustration work that I've done over the years. These include Martin's Marvelous Mini, Roy of the Rovers. What the fuck was Martin's Marvelous Mini?
And why did you name it first
higher
before
up in the
Roy
list?
Of the Rovers?
Yeah, exactly. And for the last 10 years, Scorer in the Daily Mirror.
Oh,
so
yeah,
then
I like
there's
that.
There's some images, and Roy is the fourth one, I think, on the list. The second one. The first one is Anna Kournikova comic strip for Omega Watchers.
Oh, sexy.
And then the second one. Oh, yeah. And then the second one is Ulrika in Scorer. And she's just Dave Story's Swedish model girlfriend.
Yeah. She's I used to be well
very,
into
very,
Scorer. But Scorer's been going more than 10 years. He must have taken it over. I remember when Scorer started because it was the it became the rival to the Sun's Striker. And obviously, we didn't take the Sun in our house. We took the Mirror. And as all decent families do. And so I was the only reason that I was gutted about missing out on the Sun, because my mate got the Sun in his house, is that they had Striker. And I was really jealous of that, because in the Mirror all they had was fucking Handicap. And then when they introduced Scorer, fucking hell.
Game changer.
I was so into it. And Ulrika was always his bird as well, yeah.
Well, he's done a little strip of some of his best illustrations. And the first one is Anna Kournikova. Looking fit as fuck. The second one is Ulrika wearing a tiny bikini top.
Yeah.
With incredible knockers.
Jugs.
And her hands
out.
In her hair. Mm. And then after that, it's Roy of the Rovers. But then it says on his website, I have worked in all mediums, from line through to full colour oil painting. I have done paintings covering most subjects, from nudes to houses and cars.
What can you paint? What can't I paint? Nudes. I don't know a lot. Nudes, houses, cars, what else is there? End of the
Hang
day.
On, did you say nudes there first? Yeah, nudes. What about it?
Just never ask me, never ask me to do hands, because they are fucking impossible. But other than that, whatever you want.
I can do Ulrika's hands because they're in her hair, so you don't see the fingers.
That's the trick. That's the old illustrator's trick yeah. That is.
So, yeah, that's his CV. It starts at nudes. And I can do nudes, I can do houses, cars, whatever.
Look, the full gamut.
Nudes. Brilliant. So, yeah, Roy's in midfield, and then he blasts one in from outside the box. It says, doesn't make much difference. The King can play anywhere and score from any angle, as he puts the ball in the back of the net. Way! Cop the rocket, Rotherton!
Cop the rocket.
And then the season, everyone's fucking hanging loose. And then Roy goes over to Nat Gosden. He says, feel like a breather, Nat. Nat's fucking hair hanging down
Nat
the side of his head.
All over the fucking shop. He looks about, he's about to drop dead.
He is fucked. He says, aye, why not? It's been a long season. It's time that sub of ours started earning his keep again. So Nat goes off. It says, as veteran Nat Gosden came off, the crowd buzzed with excitement. And there we are. It says, this is it! Trust old Roy to save a final surprise for us. And what is that surprise? Is it Arthur Logan coming on as a sub? Is it fucking Roy's cousin? No, it's fucking Vic Guthrie coming back. The return of the Super Brat.
Livid as well.
Yeah. The return of the Super Brat! So there we are. That's that one. It says, next week, Vic Guthrie starts off like too much of a, inverted commas, nice guy.
Mm.
So, I mean, who gives a fuck? They've won the league. They're playing away from home. It doesn't matter, does it?
Next week, we are on the final chapter of this book. Not the final chapter of this series, because we will be carrying on through the 80s.
We will.
Because,
I think we'll just tweet the strips each week.
And he has a...
anyway.
Do you call it a cache? A cache, C-A-C-H-E.
An archive.
But what is a cache? You know, you say...
A what?
You know when people say a cache of weapons...
Yeah.
C-A-C-H-E.
C-A-C-H-E, yeah. Is that what you're accusing me of having?
No, I'm not saying you've got any weapons in your home.
I haven't.
All right. Never said that.
There's no weapons.
You're getting a bit... Hang on a minute, mate. Now I'm starting to think you do have a cache of weapons.
No, there's no weapons here. What are you saying about the comics? Go back to the comics.
A cache of comics. Like, you've got a cache of them.
Yeah, I have.
Talking of a cache of weapons, just real quick before we go, I'm sure I've told you this, but it's quite nice when we tease the audience with celebrity anecdotes. But have I ever told you about the famous radio broadcaster known to both you and I who is really mad? He's probably, like most radio presenters are insane, like lifetime. It's not people who are... people who have been on the radio, but your career radio hosts, right? I think they go mad because just they've been locked in a fucking dark room for so many years talking
it's
to themselves.
It's the repetition of what they do, isn't it?
I don't blame them for being mad. I would be too. But this one, I would say, is the maddest I've ever encountered. And one time, I can't remember why, but he sent a producer down to the car park to get one of his own books, like as in his own autobiography, which he kept in the boot of his car. And he drove around this car, and in the boot he kept like a cache of like signed copies of his autobiography that he'd written like 20 years before, but he still had a fucking bootload of them at all times, right, in case anyone ever asked one or he wanted to roll something. He'd go, oh, I've got something for you, and he'd just pop the boot and he'd go, there you go. And he said to the producer, go down... Actually, I better not do it, but go down to the car park and get a copy of my book from the boot. Here's my car key. So the producer, a young girl, goes down to the car park, already thinks it's really weird that he's got a load of books in the boot of his car. When she pops the boot of his car, there is a load of books, but also there is a load of ornate, slightly antique-looking... daggers.
Uh, a cache of daggers.
He had a cache of ornate daggers in his car. Like a shitload of them. Like fancy daggers, basically.
Wow, fancy daggers.
Yeah.
That's the business to be in, isn't it? If you're going to be in the dagger business, be in the fancy dagger business.
May I ask you, why have you pulled me over? May I ask you what you have in your boot, sir? Load of books and daggers. Why? What? Pretty standard stuff, right? No, sir, actually. Both daggers, those things, sir? Are fucking... What sort of books? Just my own autobiography, signed.
Signed.
About 100 copies. Why, do you want one? What else is in there? Load of daggers.
Why have you got daggers, sir? They're fancy daggers.
They're fancy daggers.
They're none of your concern.
They're more ornamental. Well, why are they in the boot of your car where no one can see them then? Why don't you mind your own fucking business? It's a free country. This is why we voted to leave Europe.
We've taken back control. I can do what I want with my fucking daggers.
First thing I did, 1st of Jan 2021, went out to the dagger shop, filled my fucking boot up with them. Up yours, Brussels.
An Englishman's boot is his castle. And mine's full of fancy daggers.
You can fill your boot with whatever you fucking want, as long as you've got a British passport.
Not like we're going abroad with it anymore.
Yeah. Although, trust me, if you do go abroad, you might want to take a couple of daggers. Especially if you're heading to France or Turkey.
Fucking hell. Good stuff. I can't wait for this episode to finish so I can find out who that is.
I bet you can guess. Well, you're guessing three. I'll give you three guesses. You'll definitely get it in three.
Okay. Right, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.